Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, how much fun is Silent Trailers?
It is really the best. It started off virtually because of quarantine, and now I am pleased every time it comes up. I'm glad we get to do it virtual. We have people from around the world chiming into our chat. It's fantastic.
The New York Times said it's the greatest guessing game of all time. Next one's coming up Saturday. Lucy Pohl, Tom Delgado, her boyfriend who we just met, Clark Jones, Jeremiah Watkins, all against me, the kid who's seen every movie ever made.
Now, watch this. Like, this is a game where I'm watching the trailer of a movie on silent and I'm describing it. Now, I don't know, from movie actors, to me, the actor disappears into his role. So you will hear hints like, Keith, it's the apples guy, you know, in the
Matt
window.
Damon.
Matt Damon is correct. Okay. Who else? You know, the apples guy's friend.
Ben Affleck.
He married someone and now he's with someone, that person.
J-Lo.
Excellent. Okay. So if you can follow along, you can guess along and we can find the movie together.
I love that it didn't matter that he married somebody else. But anyway, it's a train of thought, like nobody's business what Chemda does. It's honestly magic. We're doing it this Saturday, May 14th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Get your tickets, keithandthegirl.com/tickets. Are you a VIP member? Save some bucks. keithandthegirl.com/VIP. You'll see everything right there. Okay. Today's guest, he's the host of the podcast Marty and Sarah Loves Wrestling. The stand-up album you can download is Live from Parts Unknown. Get it? Wrestlers did that, you see. Marty DeRosa. Hello, Marty.
Hey, what's up? Happy to be here. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm very excited, Marty. First,
yeah.
What is it about wrestling and comedians? What's it from your point of view?
So this is like, I feel like every comic likes wrestling now. I used to like wrestling. Well, not every comic. I'm generalizing as all comics do. But I feel like it's a good time to be a comic and a wrestling fan. Everyone's a fan now. But I was a fan years ago, and I would like drag people to shows.
But why? Like, is it like they're superheroes and we were nerds? Why do we love
them? Yeah. But they're real, too. This was before you could go to Comic-Con and see all the people dressed up and stuff. Like, wrestling for me is like it's like all that stuff, and all the wrestlers I know want to be comics, and all the comics I know want to be wrestlers.
Is it like how people watch the Queen's wedding and they need to know about the dress and who's gonna jump on who and whatever?
Oh, see, I love that you said the Queen, because my favorite part of wrestling is the palace intrigue. Like, I like the behind the scenes stuff. Very comedy as well, when you're talking about, you know, you have bookers in comedy, you got bookers in wrestling. You've got, you know, the people who make the calls, the people who are backstabbing people. Like, it's all there. Like, I can get anybody hooked on wrestling. If you hang out with me enough, I'll get you involved one way or another. I'm going to get your interest up
one way or another.
Yeah, one way
I'm
or another.
Get you.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I have yet to not convert anybody into a wrestling fan.
Is Sarah your lover?
She is now. Yes. Yes. I took her as a lover after a couple of years of being partners in our podcast venture.
Okay. And so you guys watch wrestling together. You just saw WrestleMania, of course, right?
Of course.
Do you go to a movie theater? I saw they start doing those.
I haven't done that. We've gone to live stuff and have a lot of, usually the best parts to have a lot of friends over, or like we used to do like live shows at bars, but if they're, you know, like Wi-Fi isn't good or something, then it cuts out and everyone's looking at you like you're in charge of the place. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on right now. You know, we'd watch like the Royal Rumble and it's like 5, 4, right, 3, and then it would cut out or whatever. So yeah, I try not to do those anymore. Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys watch the whole thing? Like, there's a lot of filler in that WrestleMania.
Much filler. Yeah. I watch everything. Okay. She floats in and out of stuff. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't put her through that and make her watch all that stuff. Cause even I get bored sometimes.
Do you get dressed to watch it? Like, do you have your own cape, leggings, underwear outside of your pants?
At least a shirt, right?
What's You're your talking favorite gear. Shirt? Yeah, gear is what you'd be talking.
Oh, I don't know the technical terminology, but...
Although, sometimes, like, every year when there's WrestleMania, there's, like, WrestleCon, which is, like, a big convention and stuff. And a lot of people dress up. Like, it's not rare to be at, like, a Chipotle, and then you turn around and a guy's got, you know, a WCW world title over one arm and a WWF title over another arm. It's adorable and I love it. But no, I don't really dress up myself. I just put on a nice, a nice collared shirt and
Can I ask your relationship with your father?
Yeah. What do you want to know?
Was there?
You know, no. Yeah. Yes and no. Like, he worked a super lot. So TV was like the thing for me. And I was like a depressed little kid. So I would just go in the basement and I had all my wrestling figures and I would just watch wrestling. And that was like, that was the thing for me.
Was your father a charismatic person?
Very.
Okay. I'm finding a thread here. Okay. Of grown men who like wrestling. And when I say grown men who like wrestling, please take the tone out of my face for your earring.
Sure.
You know, I mean it sincerely. It seems the father is around, not there, but around. Mm-hmm. Like, one could say that he was there, but he was so charismatic that he put it on everybody. Like, yeah, oh, your dad's so fun, like, blah, blah, blah. But maybe he's more of a disciplinary with you and he's not as fun, but you do get to participate in the fun when the fun comes over. And so you go into the basement or whatever and you look at these grown men having fun and you can see, it's okay that my father doesn't have fun with me all the time. I can have fun with these guys.
And Ric Flair will be my dad. Yeah.
And to add one more to it, as you're thinking, in the album, Live from Parts Unknown, you're pretty clear that your dad never, he never saw your shows. He never congratulated you. He never said good job. That's interesting too.
Yeah, I've gotten the good job and congratulations since the album. So
if you write it. Yeah, my dad says, send me a card. And then I sent him a card and he's like, thanks for the card. Yeah, no, that's my different.
My dad has lung cancer now.
Okay.
And our relationship has gotten so good. Over the pandemic, I would say our relationship got real good. And so this is like the new hurdle that we're dealing with. But it's wild to like have your dad as your buddy in your 40s is like so different than anything I've ever experienced.
That's so interesting. Did he tell you, about his cancer first? Or did you suddenly see that your dad was talking to you more openly, differently, friendly? No, like
the opposite way. Yeah, we were just like getting along more and just talking more as like, I don't know. It's like he's my buddy now. It's so interesting. Like, we'll get off the phone sometimes and I'll tell Sarah like stuff we joked about and everything. And I'm just like, I just never thought that would be.
God damn it. My dad got cancer too. And he just turned into a bigger prick. So just so you know, Marty, it can go the other way.
I'm happy that it went this way. Yeah.
And thank God it happened. And thank God it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything there that's bittersweet? Like, hey, you're a person. Why couldn't you be normal? Why is it only when you're dying?
No, it's good. I had more. It's so weird. Like, I had so much of that, like that type of chip on my shoulder from him years ago. But now now it's all good.
You know what? I've had a therapist go like, what would it take for you to like be cool with your parents or talk to your parents or answer, you know, a message from them? And I'm like, literally anything,
yes,
but the bullshit that they've been doing. Like, if you show any sense of what's truly happening, instead of going like, here's a care package, even though we haven't spoken in 5 years, if you stop doing any level of goofy shit and say any level of just baseline, this is what's consciously happening right now, I'm in. I'm in every Christmas and Easter, and we're Jews.
Oh,
I'm in.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, if without exaggeration, for those who know the saga with me and my dad, if my dad said, I did hit on your ex-wife and it was completely out of line, I liked the tension, that book wouldn't be coming out. That's the truth. You can't even do that. You can't do the simplest things. Go ahead.
I like talking to him about, you know, because it's not like crying about the past or, you know, you're crying over spilt milk, but it's just a lot of like interesting, you know, life lessons. And I get a lot of like, well, if I did that, I'm sorry about that, you know, and just kind of like, what do you want me to do about it now? He's like this old Italian guy.
Oh, I accept. What do you want me to do about it right now?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But in a nice way. It's not it used to be what do you want me to do? And then now it's hey, what do you want me to do? You know, and now I'm like, I like that one. I'll take that. The gentle, what do you want me to do for sure?
Look how hard it is to raise adult children.
Yeah. And, you know, he hit me with the other day we were talking and he hit me with the, you know, I never had a conversation like this with my dad. And then I'm just like, oh, yeah, your dad, you know, and he's like, you know, he had some fun stories to tell me and stuff like that. And he would tell his dad about things. His dad would be like, you know, mind your own business or whatever. So it's cool, dude.
Yeah.
And I just like never thought about that. I was like, oh yeah, this dude had a dad that didn't talk to him. That's interesting.
Were your parents divorced? Cycle.
No. My mom passed away when I was like 20. So
from what?
This is not cancer as well. Yeah, she had cancer as well. Yeah, so it's like we're going two for two here with cancer. Yeah, it's the same thing too. Like I was listening to Clark. And you had Clark on a few weeks ago, and he's telling this story about these people who lost. I'm like, oh man, it's so sad, it's so sad. And then I was like, shit, it's all like so many of us are like that. Like yeah. My mom and my sister passed away within a year when I was 20 to 21. So that just put me in like a depression, and then came out of it like in my late 20s, started doing comedy, and you know, was kind of good for a while, and then I had. I lost my best friend during COVID. So that put me out of the game for a while.
Okay. First of all, how'd your sister pass?
She drowned. She was in Costa Rica and she drowned.
Damn it.
See? Yeah. Fucking.
It can happen, people.
Yeah. Oh my God.
This is what happens. Yeah. This is how your comics are built. You know, this is the origin story of how your comics are built.
Were you there?
No. She was on vacation with a friend. And so that happened. And then.
Did you look into that, or not want to look more into it?
Nah, it's all good. It's all been looked into. It's all good.
That's a tough. Can I?
Yeah.
Let me tell you that could be a tough one. No,
yeah,
it seems like a tough one because it's someone going into nature and not coming back. So there's a sense, I think, is there a sense like they could come back? Like we shouldn't.
So we need more so than that. The way I looked at it was I had these two deaths where it's like with most people it is how it goes. It's either someone's sick. Or, you know, a horrible accident and then they're gone, you know? So it was like, I had both experiences within a year where it's like, imagine, you know, we've all had friends or, you know, people who it's just like, they just went off and I never saw them again. They passed away, you know, got a car crash or something like that. So there's no goodbye. And then the opposite of that was with my mom where she had been sick for a while. You know, we thought we were going to do like the home, like the hospice thing or whatever at home. But she ended up passing away before that even happened. So, but I got to like say my goodbyes to her. So it was like the two sides of the coin where the one is just like, and I don't know which one's better. You know what I mean? Cause like I was looking at a photo of my sister and I the other day and she'll just always be that version of her. And then there was like, you know, with my mom where it was like, you go to the hospital, you say your goodbyes and then that's it. So it's like, you know, obviously there isn't like which is better or anything like that, but like it's definitely was interesting to go through those two, you know, different experiences.
What are you like as a depressed person?
I just kind of shut it down. I like to be alone. I used to just tell people I was sick or I had like, you know, the flu or, oh, I got something last night. I can't make it or whatever.
Do you think people knew or at the time, do you think they knew and you were like, who cares? I am sick.
I think that
it's offensive that nobody kept checking on this sickness that you should see a doctor.
Yeah.
Right,
you
know?
Yeah. Right. but it was, I think there wasn't the awareness that there is now. So, you know, I'm sure like whether it was people I dated or like bosses I had, I don't think like now they're looking back going, you know what? I think that guy might've been depressed. That might've been his problem, you know?
No,
I think
but maybe some chicken soup coming your way.
You know, and I would try, you know, or people would give me their advice and stuff like that. And it was just kind of like, I don't think this is work, you know? And I just thought everybody had these days, like, especially when I was a kid, I thought everybody just had a, you know, a day where they needed to just turn all the lights off, turn the TV on and just not talk to anybody. When I knew it was starting to be a thing was when I was like in high school and I'd be at like parties and I'd be like, I want to go. This is just not fun. And I should be having the most fun. And sometimes I did, but there would be a lot of those times or like after a while, you know, I'd get some beers in me or something. And then all of a sudden I'm just like, why am I in the corner? Just like looking at everybody having fun, being like, what are they doing? You know, why are they so happy?
Parties have the best PR. Everyone's like, who wouldn't want to go to a party? And then I haven't met anyone who's like, I cannot wait to go to another party. Everyone's like, and then I had to drink or I was the one standing in the corner or I needed to do a lot of drugs. I don't know how to socialize with people. Can't wait to go to a party again.
Yeah, I think about some of those like great party stories I have. And it's like, now, fast forward 2 hours later, I was on the back porch being like, I have to get out of here. Like all these people, I just want to leave everybody behind. Yeah.
Did you go into any kind of numbing agent?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was doing that before I knew that was a thing. You know,
you're
what I mean?
OG
I was,
about fucking wrestling and drugs. Yeah. Holy shit!
Self-medicating really? All the what, time. Like that's what
fans
I was,
have you learned of before yeah. all of us? This, oh, you know everything
yeah.
first.
I knew it all. Yeah, I was. I remember. If you really want to get into it, there was this book that I used to rent at the library in where I grew up in Indiana.
And I like that called, you call it rent. Is that what they call yeah. it in Indiana?
Yeah, I rent a book at the library.
Because
right?
you're always late.
Or check it out, I guess. You check it out. I would rent this book.
Back in my day,
store.
You go to a building that said library. Yeah.
I would check out this book. It was called From Chocolate to Morphine. And it was this book about drugs. And it would just very matter-of-factly, you could leaf through and it would tell you like, hey, first time you smoke marijuana, this is what it's going to be like. Or, you know, you take LSD, this is what it's going to be like. And I was like, ooh, this LSD sounds interesting. And I just kept reading about it. And I was like, we got to do this, fellas. And I just kind of like gave my crew the pep talk and told them what to expect and everything. And we were off to the races. And I do remember after the first time on acid, I was like many people, I was just like, ooh, okay. I think I'm a little smarter now.
Such an interesting picture to me to picture a teenager going like, let me learn about drugs
yeah.
so I can push them properly onto my fellow
yeah.
students.
Yeah.
And he's like,
it really was.
Here you gather around. I have done my research and there is an item called LSD. That's
yeah.
right. And it sounds toxic, but let me tell you what to expect.
Yeah.
You must have had quite the speech, but yeah. also.
Well, first of all, I picture Marty goes through the book, does one drug at a time, gets to the end, sees the author's picture, and then it's like, oh, shit. Let's take a break, boys.
Yeah.
Was LSD your first drug?
No. But like my first like, oh, this is a drug. Like, you know, I remember being like, not bad. Like, yeah, to the makers, very nice.
It is a very good one. See, science is beautiful.
Yeah.
Is what I think. Yeah. Nature's beautiful too. Weed, very good.
Yeah. And I love hearing now where like, you know, with mushrooms and stuff, they're like prescribing it to people with depression and everything. So maybe I was onto something.
Oh my God. Took a little bike round around New York yesterday. Every week, New York changes now. Now, I know it always has, and you never know the same New York. And if you, but there's like new structures. Like, was that building just there, right? Mm-hmm. And there's like now weed stores, and everyone's acting like it was always there. Like, as I walk into any store that provides just like open air, like, hey, what kind of weed do you have? Oh, I'm answering that question open and honestly. And I'm like, my jaw, you'll see my face.
Yeah.
My jaw's on the floor. And they're like, anyway, you want a sativa? You want, we have this. And today's on sale is this, that, and the next. And I'm like, why is nobody going like, oh my God, right? Why not? Nobody. You just opened the store 5 minutes ago. You're selling weed to me openly. You're of age to know that this used to happen in some stranger's car with a lot of danger in it. And you're like, anyway, if you want a mellow high, I'm like, this should be, you, we all should be freaking out. Then we go to a flea market, not a flea market.
Sorry, one second. What's the opposite of mellow high? Like, I went anxiety tonight. What's the other option?
Sativa.
Panic.
Yeah. Panic. Yeah. I asked for the sativa panic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Listen, a gummy. Get like a gummy of like a just go like, give me like a gummy that I know what I'm doing. And they'll be like, okay. And then you'll have your panic induced nightmare.
That's how Panic at the Disco started. But so, okay. So now, you know, those in New York, wherever there's open space, there will be a flea market or some sort of like booth system on the weekend.
Yeah.
We come into one of those. It looks like it's on the way out. There's only like 4 to 6 booths left. And there's obviously like room for a ton more. And some, we walk by and someone's like, would you like to try our chocolates? And we're like, we're not falling for you. Hold on. And they're like, it's weed. I'm like, you just offered me chocolate. Like, not only was it weed, I know that I'm all over the place, but my head is all over the place every time I come on this. Open air, there's a cop that you have to walk through to get even in that area. And they're like, this is weed. And now we have it in pill form. And I'm like, I'm always wanted it in pill form. This is fantastic. And then I'm like, what are those? And they go, mushrooms. I like, and I'm like, do you hear the way I'm asking that question? Of course they're mushrooms. I'm like, are they magic? Like an old person. Are they magic mushrooms? Are they magic beans? Do I plant them? They're like, yeah, it's magic ones. I'm like, no, like the kind that fuck you up and like get you. They're like, yeah. I'm like, you're in public. And they're like, listen, get your shawl and go home. Okay.
Yeah. You'll like this. This story will like touch that part of your heart that you're still operating from when it comes to drugs. So in Chicago, right by the Illinois-Indiana border, and weed illegal in Indiana, you know, of course. And so I have a lot of friends who will come to the city and grab weed and then go back. I had a first where, because now everyone's parents are, you know, taking edibles at night with a little wine, or they're smoking a little weed again. And my buddy's dad comes to pick up some stuff from me, and I give him the bag, and he looks around, and I'm like, what is this guy doing? I thought he was going to hug me, and he like sneaks me the money. And I'm like, oh, you don't have to do that. But I didn't want to take that experience away from him, you know?
Sure.
It was like that Seinfeld episode where Kramer faked like he was going to rob George to give those people on the tour bus like a New York experience. I was like, I'm going to give him his Chicago I bought weed experience.
Like, I'm giving you people an experience. How often are you going to get someone's jaw on the ground by just buying weed for money?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mushrooms.
Adorable.
I didn't hear about the mushroom law. You could buy my chocolate, pill form, whatever.
Does when Mother's Day comes around, does Sarah have to distract you? Is it a bummer of a day, especially?
You know, yeah, it snuck up on me because I had a buddy message me, and that was like, we need to check your phone in the morning. And it was from my buddy. He was like, hey, hope you have a good day today. I know it's a tough one for you. And I was like, well, it's today. And I realized that was Mother's Day. You know, it gets me like, but here's the things that always get me. Whenever I used to watch the Saturday Night Live where they would bring out all the mothers, I'd be like, well, good thing I'm not on this cast because I wouldn't have been able to bring my mother. That's always such, because like, first of all, you have a great job. Congratulations. And you have a mother. Fuck off. You know,
and your mother's like, I stand literally next to you and go, I'm OK with this.
Could you imagine? And then at the end of the show, it's like 1 a.m. in New York. If my dad was with me, he'd be like sleeping in a chair. They'd have to like pan over Mike DeRosa, and he'd just be in the chair. Okay, I got to get back to my hotel. This is too late. And but that was, or like Facebook, and you're scrolling through stuff or whatever. There's certain days, you know, obviously anybody who's experienced a lot of death and stuff like that, you have the birthday, but then also the day they died. And then you've got these weird little Mother's Day, Father's Day, things like that. So it's,
maybe that's why guys never commit to like a date memory. They're like, I don't know what it is. This way we don't have to remember and we don't have to celebrate on specific days. We're just going to be us.
I used to always call my dad like on my mom or sister's birthday or anniversary. And my dad would always go, I knew there was something about today. I'm like, right. He'd go, I knew. Yeah, I was thinking there was something I should know today. Or
you sure did, Dad.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to commit.
Yeah.
I called my mom on Mother's Day. She has dementia. She's in a home. And I didn't know if I should or not, but it's been a bit. The most excruciating 5 minutes of silence in my life. You know,
and do you ever go into those calls like, I'm going to try to really like crush this phone call?
But she literally can't talk. Yeah, like, you know, so.
But also, yes, he does. Yes, he's always timed his calls with his parents. Yeah. When he does 45 minutes, it's as if he just came off stage. He's like, I got 45 minutes of material out there. Right. Like, it was working. It was back and forth. But I don't know if you have that anticipation anymore, Keith.
It hasn't happened in a bit. But yes, I would. I'd take a phone call like it's a stand-up act. You know,
absolutely. You got it.
And like, oh, I'll do all the talking. You don't know how to communicate. Done and done. You know, my mom was better. It's more talking to my dad. Yeah. Right? Mike
drop. Sec drop where you're like, okay, hold on a second here. This is getting a little lull of the conversation. I got to drive it home really good. Here we go.
I am so bad at that. In fact, Keith and I were on the phone the other day and I think I ended it by going, all right, take care of yourself. And he's like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. Come on. Obviously, we're done.
I told him to get home safe, you know?
Yeah. My best friend died during the pandemic. He had drinking related stuff, not COVID, but he passed away. Like a lot of people we know, just this alone time and everything was just not good.
He died from drinking? Is this what you're saying?
Yeah, essentially drinking. Okay. Yeah. And complications from drinking, we'll say. And, we used to talk on the phone so much. That was like, I've known, like, I feel like now if I call somebody, I'm like, you're being auditioned right now I'm looking for a phone person, you know, because we used to just chat about everything on the phone. And like, I have other friends who are like, he's talking on the phone. Like, whoa, what is that? I'm just like, I don't know, something about just talking on the phone. So I still like phone conversations. I still dig them.
Well, that's your old man thing. We all have an old man thing. Yeah. You do drugs good.
What's the old man thing for you too? Or old woman thing?
We already learned that I don't know.
Well, you and weed, yeah.
Yeah. I also apparently don't know how to get off a phone call. Yeah. Like, it's just a lot.
Heaven is funny because when she goes to get off a phone call, She's on the phone and she's like, tell me about your kids. How's your job? Like, you could tell they're ready to hang up. And then she'll hang up and be like, they would not let me go.
No. Okay. First of all, this is why it's bad to know someone for like 20 years. That was 20 years ago, me. Okay. Update
and
your
now
references.
She knew it. So sure. I'm sorry. Now she knows it's easier not to do it ever. So okay.
Now I just go, okay, take care of yourself.
Right. You too. And then we were on for another 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It was a mess. Now, my, you know, I've seen my mom in person, you know, since she had terrible dementia, and she doesn't know what's going on. She looks scared. She's backing up. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I didn't study body language, but I know what backing the fuck up is. And when I say back up, I mean you're in a wheelchair and it's not easy. Mm-hmm. So am I only causing, you know, more chaos? Because it doesn't seem like I'm causing joy. And my dad has said in letters that he sends the other siblings that I get, she understands, sent her a card. She understands happiness and joy and sadness. And I see it in her eyes. It's like, you didn't see it when you were, I almost said when you were alive, when everybody was in the house and we were growing up, you didn't see a single fucking emotion, but you're seeing things doctors don't even now. Let me tell you something. What if he stopped visiting? He visits too much. I think if anything, he should stop visiting. I bet she gets better. That's my guess. He gets kicked out of these places, Marty. He gets kicked out of the fucking home.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm getting a vibe of your dad. Yeah. Do you look like your dad?
Probably. Fuck you.
Yeah, because I'm dealing with this thing of getting older. And as I look in the mirror, I'm like seeing my dad more.
Right.
And I'm glad that we get along better, because I think that would be the worst if you were like, you know, your number one arch villain, if your dad is that guy,
worst?
And you start getting older and you look like him, like, that's like,
we both have those big country heads, you know, nice and round, like a bowling ball. So yeah, you know, I see him, sure. And yeah, it's the worst. Yeah, you're getting kept. My dad's getting kicked out of a fucking home for my mom. These people in this hospital are so out of it in their brain that, you know, they start grabbing strangers' privates and this kind of thing. And you're like, Mary, stop it. You know, but my dad's getting thrown out and we never know why. You know, he's like, I got thrown out because I was talking to strangers. Why can't you do that? I'm like, I don't know. Ask. Because I was there, and you can't help but talk to strangers because everybody wants to talk to you like you're their grandson. Why are you getting kicked out, you fucking weirdo?
This has got to be some next level activity, why he's getting thrown out. Because really, like you said, the patients are ill and they're grabbing at people and they're doing all the wrong social things, right, to the point where, like, you could be like, hey, I can press charges on you, but I know you're not there. You're getting kicked out of that place, the place where people who have to have as much patience as a human being can have, and you hope they have. You're getting, they don't have patience for you. They have patience for Keith's mom, who's pooping in her pants, who has to be fed, who can't even talk. That's not annoying them as much as whatever you're saying. And most of their patients can't have conversations, so they would love to have a conversation.
Right.
In fact, if I'm visiting my mom and she can't talk, wouldn't it be nice to turn to somebody else and go, this is really difficult? Not you, who, if you were the sexual version of who you are, you'd be taking out your dick, because that is, you probably did the verbal equivalent of taking out your dick in whatever non-sexual way, which is the only redeeming value you ever had that you net. Well, no, you did. You turned it sexual on Keith's ex. Okay. I'm just saying, at least he asked permission in some way, but you got kicked out of a place like that.
You're testing my mom. Test my dad. Sit him down and go, yeah, hey, I have some questions.
Do you think it was like a gentle kick out of like, all right, you got to go. Come on.
Yeah. You got to make up COVID. Oh, they have a new COVID deadline right now to tomorrow, 24 hours later. Oh, really, Dad? Doubt it. But yeah, safety first.
Do you know the story about Vern Gagne? Did you ever talk about that on the show?
No.
So Vern Gagne was this old wrestler, and he had Alzheimer's. He was in the hospital, and he was like one of the first famous pro wrestlers on TV when TV came out back in the, like, you know, back in the day.
Okay.
So Vern's in the nursing home and he has like a wrestling flashback and grabs this old guy and hip tosses him, ends up killing the guy.
Jesus.
But it's like, well, what do you, you know, like, they sell him. Obviously he's not going to go to jail or anything like that. So it was like, oh man. So you know.
Why wouldn't we have talked about that, Keith?
I'm sure you talked about it.
Maybe your mom put it.
There's probably some super fan who's like, it was episode 35. Yes, you did talk about it. It was big news. But and that's like my deflection too, is when things get serious. I just noticed that about myself. When there's like, oh, we're talking about hospitals and serious stuff, I'm like, I know, I'll tell a wrestling story and make everybody laugh. It's like, oh, that's how my brain works.
What you say about, you know, do we perform during these phone calls, which of course we do. You also mentioned in your stand-up how you do therapy, and you know you're the best at it. And frankly, I feel the same way, where when I talk to my therapist, I'm like, you know, I'm a fucking joy. I take it seriously. I'm very open, but I'm a little funny. You're in for a treat with me.
Yeah. Like, I talk about like seeing the other people come out of the office, and they're just kind of like, you just look at somebody and you're like, I bet that wasn't very fun for my therapist. Luckily, it's, you know, Monday at 10 a.m. So we're about to turn it up a notch. And I got some fun stories. I've already got some buttons on some of these stories for you. You're going to love them. And we're just off to the races.
That's so funny. I'm the opposite. I'm like, if you fall for any of this shit, you are wrong. Game face on. Don't laugh at any of this. And I'm like, oh, you laughed at, like, when I find, because, you know, we tell a story of trauma with the jokes that we can come up with, because that's how we process it. And I'm like, that's not funny. I'm obviously deflecting. Why would that be funny right now?
Yeah.
Make me cry.
I just took an ADHD test. My psychiatrist was like, let's get some ADHD medication in the mix and see how that works. So I went to the guy, and right away I was just hitting him with joke after joke. And he just was like, all right, like, calm down a little bit. Like, it's going to be a real test. Like, you're not performing right now. I like that. I appreciate when my therapist sometimes will be like, in all seriousness, that's what I know.
Yeah. Like, and okay, that's how you get Ritalin. You try to be a stand up in front of any doctor. They're like, calm down. Here's some Ritalin.
I told a story on stage when I'll try to find the photo while I'm talking to you guys. I just took this ADHD test, and it was like, it's like 5 to 6 hours long.
What? And how do you take that if you have ADHD?
That's like
the kicker. Oh, maybe that's right there. Why it takes.
That's
so
part
long.
Of it. You take so many. It's the
I'm written, Googling it right now. It's 15 minute long test. Yeah,
that is impossible. I was taken. But this guy, it was.
If it takes you 6 hours, you get the meds.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, the first part of the test is getting here on time, and I'm here early. And the guy's like, oh my god, dude, calm down. It's gonna be okay. But we're taking this test, and there was written portions of it, which was, they would get boring, but then there was like where he would ask me to repeat questions, and he would do a lot of like, basically like phone games. Like, you got to make this one over here, but you can't have it touch this one. So there was a lot of stuff like that, but behind him, he had like a little office. And of course they can't find it on my phone. He was in like a little tiny office, and out his window, there was like a beautiful mural on the wall across the way. And I'm just like looking at the mural, and I was just wondering if he was ever giving that ADHD test while they were painting that, because it would have been like game over if I went in and took that test.
Actually, that is the ADHD test. He asks you to draw what was behind him during the test after he turns it off. And if you can do it, you were not paying attention.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see. That's this beautiful bird mural outside his office wall, office window or whatever. So
it's a fancy area. By the way, a little heads up to the people in this kind of a career where you are mentally helping someone else, put your laptop on something. Fucking, I get that it's called a laptop. Put it on a table. Stack some fucking books underneath it if you haven't worked out what your table but because your camera is bouncing up and down while I'm trying to tell you about how somebody touched me in the no-no spot could be a little distracting. Set your computer down. If you work in mental health, we're in your house now, and it's fucking uncomfortable. Unless you pass me a cappuccino in a nice way, I like figure it out where I can't see where you live so hard. Thank you.
No, I agree.
I get that you have to be on your couch maybe because maybe you're another New Yorker, but like, be a little better than me in this.
I like that. Be better than me. That's
be, be a little.
Yeah. Be a little better than me. Yeah. I should take notes from you. Like, I saw what she did. I should probably do that at my house versus I got to buy a standing desk or something.
Yes. I said it. My God, invest in yourself. A therapist that comes on late, we can see you right away. Ooh. Don't act frantic.
Yeah.
You're already late. Chill the fuck out. Put your laptop not on your lap. Thank you. Because I think you're crazy now. You're on your ceiling now. It's so distracting.
Right. Speaking of other people's houses, you mentioned this in your stand-up. That, tell me how much is true, that the first time you went to therapy was because, as a kid, you liked to fuck pillows. Okay? You know, what kid doesn't? Don't get me started.
Somebody took you to therapy for that?
But then he went to therapy. Then he went to a doctor for, I believe it was a bad stomach. And then as the doctor went out, he went, you know what, Mom? I think I know why I'm sick. I fucked pillows.
Oh, yeah. I had food poisoning. And boy, this, yeah, I don't know how graphic we want to go on this, but I thought.
You already brought a death, sicko.
Yeah. So I used to hump pillows. That was my way of getting down. And I don't know why.
Like, it's without touching? Like, you just
Yeah, I'm just like grinding on pillows.
Oh, okay. So you're dry humping your pillows.
Dry humping pillows, yeah.
Okay.
And I was trying to be more sexual by saying grinding, but if you want to make me a little weirdo, dry humping, sure.
You've made love sometimes.
Yeah,
come on.
I made love to these pillows. And then I just thought, I don't know why, like just as a kid, I'm just kind of like one day I just looked down and I thought the tip of the penis, I thought it was supposed to go all the way around. And I thought by rubbing the pillow that I eroded my penis to look as it looks now. And I thought I did some like real damage to my penis. And then I thought I was sick from that. Like I used to think that, I don't think I did this on the album. Sometimes if I was like doing it and the crowd was cool, I would tell them like when I was a kid, I thought like I'll have to kill myself before high school. Cause we all shower naked together in high school. Mm-hmm. So they'll all find out that I have this deformed penis. And I just was like, what am I going to do? And then I remember trying to tell my mom cause I had food poisoning and I was like, throwing up like crazy and they were like, I wonder what it could be. And then it just, something was like, I need to tell my mom like what's going on. And I started talking to her and she was just like, this is not what we're talking about right now. This is not why we're here. And then we never, you know, that was just kind of like, we'll just not talk about that. And I was watching
Sweetie, right?
Remember the Christian Slater movie, Pump Up the Volume, where he was like, so in the
original podcast.
Yeah, right. In the beginning of that movie, it saved my life because he has a wind-up toy of a little penis that jumps across the screen. And I was like, that's how they all look. And I was like, I'm saved. Like, I don't have to kill myself. And I'm like watching Pump Up the Volume when I have this like realization. So if I ever meet Christian Slater, you know, if he comes to host the Mother's Day Saturday Night Live, when I'm
saved
my life.
And you're circumcised, I assume, right? I don't see a lot of uncircumcised toys. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't dragging a bunch of skin up. Yeah.
But in the stand-up, you said, and that's the first time I went to therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one of those as a kid where it was like, I don't know I talked to some people and they'll say that when you like, you went like once or twice as a kid. And you were like, what was that all about? And your parents were like, I don't remember. And you're like, something was up or whatever. Mm. Yeah, that was, I had a whole little, this was like when I was a kid and all the things were starting, like I'll shake my head a little bit. Like every once in a while, I'll just kind of go like that. It's like a tick I have. Yeah. And all these ticks and, you know, traits started sort of manifesting a little bit. So
what happened? Why were you having tips?
It just like, you know, stress as a kid. Back then it was like, you know, the 80s, they didn't know about like ADHD and all this stuff. So they probably were just like, he's just a little anxious. So, you know, I had
So it is ADHD or were you actually stressing a trauma that happened that got deleted?
You know, combo of everything. There was a lot of, you know, some fun stuff going on here and there and stuff like that. So, you know, it was,
I assume we don't ask you what fun is in this case. Cause I think
was just a lot of shenanigans going on.
Shenanigans. Okay.
We went from fun to shenanigans. Irish Catholic term shenanigans. Yeah. Mm. But it was just one of those things where,
what would your therapist call shenanigans? Let's say if we had like a term for it,
you know, probably some inappropriate behavior, maybe from adults or children. Okay. Yeah. Things like that. Okay. And everyone in my family had depression as well. So it was kind of like almost like when your family.
But not
really
just to be
terrible.
Clear, I'm sorry, because the dad thing, because of my situation with my dad, I feel like I have to ask, was there touching from your dad?
Oh, no, nothing like that. No, but like it just felt like everybody in my family, they kind of like waited for the depression to kind of manifest. And, you know, at what age or whatever, how it did, you know, it was different with everybody.
Okay.
But with me, I just was like, I think I just kind of like kept to myself. I was like outgoing, but then I would like just shut it down and keep to myself and stuff. And, you know, when you're like shaking your head and stuff, and I used to never want to go to school. I'd always say I was sick and I don't want to go to school. So I got held back 1 year because I missed school. Yeah. So just a lot of interesting stuff like that.
Wow. Your dickhead had you miss a whole year. That's how much you were fucking pillows. My God.
I don't know. It would be interesting to see the whole timeline of everything. Cause you know, you like think one movie came out before the other movie and you're like, no, I swear Pulp Fiction came out before Reservoir Dogs. Oh, that's right. Like, there's so much of that timeline. And that's the great part too, of like my dad being like, I'll ask him stuff and he'll be like, I don't know, maybe I don't remember that too much or whatever. And I'm always like, I want some info. And he's like, I don't know.
I remember being younger and asking my parents questions. They don't like to answer it, but even adults in general, if they want to answer it, they're like, oh, I don't remember. I'm like, you don't remember who you dated for a month in eighth grade? Does life mean nothing to you? And they're like, seriously, this will become insignificant to you. And I'm like, how? I have humanity. These people meet. I'm calling this person a friend. And now I'm like, I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. It happened. Goodbye. Can't remember anything. Delete.
So the therapist sits you down and is like, hey, you're a kid. I'm supposed to talk to you about fucking pillows. Do it in private. I don't know what to tell you. Now we got 30 more minutes left. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, what else do you want to talk about? And it's that thing, too, when you're a kid because you got, like, toys out and stuff because they're trying to, like, mellow you out and, like, you feel like this is a cool place or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, just, like, some, like, judging his toys and stuff like that. And I'm just, you know.
How do you, like, graduate? Does he throw a pillow at you and see what you do?
Yeah, he's like, you're cured or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
I have boxing gloves on. It's like, what? Okay.
He leaves you alone for 5 minutes in this room of couches and toys, comes back with a black light.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
I felt like it was so much. Like, this was, like, we're talking, like, 80s and 90s. So it was like, the therapy was just like so different, and just they were probably just like, is this a little murderer on our hands? Okay, he doesn't seem like he's a murderer, so yeah, he's probably fine. You know, the kid's just masturbating, find his own way to have his fun.
Did you graduate? They put like 5 toys in a pillow, and when you stop going for the pillow, you graduate.
Yeah, then you win. Yeah, me and a couple other guys with like leashes around our necks. Yeah.
You mentioned in your album that, first of all, you mentioned like you're in a healthy relationship first time in a while. Is this Sarah?
Yeah, this is Sarah. Okay. Yeah.
You used to like chaotic women because you're chaotic, but you weren't clear what that meant. But you did say you like to see people argue in public. Were these relationships like that?
No, I didn't like the fighting. I like watching people fight because I don't fight much. I'm more of all just... You know, I just won't say anything.
But why would you say you're chaotic? You liked it. You attracted it because
fall in love, like fall in love in like one drunken night and just be like, yes, this is it. And then just be like, I would love meeting people and we would just like engulf each other. We'd just fall in love so fast. And then one or both of us shortly after would be like, we got to just leave each other alone.
By the way, this is in your album too. And it's funny because you're talking about how you're getting along with your dad again. I don't know. It's pretty fucking weird. You were sleeping. Were you guys in a hotel or in your house? The family sleeping. I don't know how many people were involved. Your dad jerks off to Cinemax. A young Marty DeRosa is still alive. No. What is this?
I mean, he would always have Cinemax on the... He would kind of... I knew when late night when everybody was asleep. I don't know what kind of business he was getting into.
Okay.
But I know that the Cinemax would come on late night at the hotel. And it's kind of one of those where you're sleeping and you're like, right. I'm a little bit awake. I'm watching a little bit.
And
I think parents should always recognize your kids are awake.
Yeah, I think so.
Just in case I would get caught, I'd jerk off. Because otherwise, it's fucking weird. What's this guy doing? I'm just taking in how they're going to get this laundry done. Like, just whack it already, weirdo.
He might have been, like, assessing the situation, you know, like, okay, here we go.
Looking around.
Timing it off with the park. Okay, I think they should be starting to have sex soon on TV here.
And of course, you know, talking about the weed and edibles, I am curious what's the craziest, I'm going to guess edibles, but maybe LSD. What's the craziest experience you had? Just the other day, I took edibles. I thought 10 p.m. was 10 a.m. I was talking to my friend Craig about it. He said the craziest thing he did was take liquid edibles. He thought he was a puppy dog's face. And I said, you mean like your face was a puppy? And he goes, no, I was a puppy dog's face. I'm like, all right. Okay.
I do have to say, I've had a harder time on edibles than I have on LSD. It's so mild and relaxing.
LSD is acid, right? Because it sounds scarier. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Acid does that. The whole thing sounds LSD. Like, why are we doing that? And with weed, I have taken too much and thrown up. And, you know, now I'm like a little nervous to take edibles until recently where I'm like, I think I've conquered this. But I think LSD is so much more mild than like taking too many edibles too soon, like without a tolerance.
Yeah. My favorite slash craziest was we were in high school. We were on acid. And it's like sort of that end of the night, end of the trip where you think you're done, but it's still kind of working its magic a little bit, but not all the way. And we were just on the couch and this was like,
oh, you started fucking channels. It.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
We were watching the old television show. It was like an old rerun of the show Fame.
Right.
And I didn't even know that much about the show or whatever, but it was on and we're watching it. And this guy and his
and you liked
dad.
It. I'm waiting for the big news to be. Yeah, that would be.
And I love musicals. You know, all this. I go. We're just watching it, and the guy was going to get on a plane to go to like the school or something, and the dad didn't want him to go dance or something. And I just go, that would be so funny if they just did a dance routine on the wing of the plane, and then they did a dance routine on the wing of the plane. And my buddy was just like, tell him to do more stuff. Like he thought I was in control. And he goes, tell him to do more. And I was just like, oh, man, this was amazing.
And then you went after this commercial break.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can
commercial
read.
For yeah. Subway. Here we go. Yeah.
All
but
right.
I have had the nightmare ones where you're just like, oh, boy. Like, I remember I did a gig. We were in like Detroit or something. Got these like demon edibles. And we were at this party and this was like before like Uber and Lyft and all that. And I just want to go back to my hotel. Like I'm freaking out. And this one comic was like, oh, I can give you guys a ride home. We're like, absolutely. And he's driving us home and we're in the back seat. There might've been someone up front with him, but he kept wanting to turn around all the way to talk to us about comedy. And I'm like, buddy, just please look forward. Like, I can't have you looking back here this much. Yeah. Like, I don't care if you know these roads, like the back of your hand, like you got to just keep looking forward. I can't deal with you right now like this.
Yeah.
That's the worst scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually a pretty good. We used to joke around when we were kids. We'd say we're 99 to 100. Like, I'm not going to get, there's not going to be any problems here. I'm 99 to 100.
But people are scared. They'll, you know, think that there's a step and they fall off a building. You're talking about like safe driving.
Yeah.
Like, did you put your seatbelt on?
Yeah.
I'm on edibles and this makes me uncomfortable.
I was always scared. I read the book Chocolate from Chocolate to Morphine. So I knew what to expect from these drugs.
Did they tell you what happened to me where I took mushrooms? I was on a rooftop and I'm looking at the other rooftop. Then I look down at the alleyway and the ground rose up to meet me so that I can walk across it. Did they warn you about that? Because people aren't doing drugs and trying to fly. They're just trying to walk to the next building.
I know.
Can I also add a small thing before you answer that there was also maybe a 40 of beer?
Yeah,
a
40 never made me see the street come up to the roof.
Yeah.
But okay.
Maybe a nice combination.
Yeah. It does a combination of what? Of the fucking. Sorry. I think the mushrooms show up to court just the same. That's what I'm saying. There was something in it. And apparently.
Well, did it say something about that in the book? Like.
Oh,
that
course.
The hallucinations, is it dangerous? Like, do they describe it as sit still because these things that will look real could fuck you up?
I mean, I'm sure there was some stuff in there. I don't know. It was so long ago since I read the book, but I just remember too, like there were some people, like I was always very responsible. Like if we were doing nitrous balloons,
you want to
maybe sit down. You don't want to be walking around. Cause first of all, you're gonna let go of your balloon and it'll fly away. But we were like in my buddy's living room and I didn't want somebody to like take a header through a coffee table and stuff. So I would be like, we should be sitting down for this. Like Safety first. If we learn anything, it's safety first.
I knew somebody who did those a lot, and he would stand up and do them, pass mm-hmm. out, hit his head on the burrow, fall on the floor, get up, would love to do it again. I'm like, what happens in that dream when you were passed out? Because it didn't look fun on this side.
Yeah. He doesn't feel it.
But in all fairness, 3 days earlier, this guy had a beer. So let's just skip it a bit. All right. Marty, it sounds like life's going pretty good for you over there. You got your wrestling podcast. You
got
your girlfriend
all,
who loves that stupid fucking
fiance. Thing. She's my fiance.
Fiance. Now. When did you propose?
How did that
fiance.
Go?
Almost a year ago.
Okay. And then what happens, do you think, after the excitement of the proposal? What do we
call? We went to Cracker Barrel to eat because there was nothing else. I proposed by the hospital. We were at the hospital. And so it wasn't one of those like bachelorette proposals. This was like a real over in the hospital. I proposed.
Is that how you sold it? This is real. It's in a hospital. It's not like I thought ahead so we could eat something nice afterwards. No.
And then we got the Cracker Barrel.
Can I ask why you're in the hospital? I'm trying.
This is my buddy who passed away during COVID.
Okay. So is this like life is short?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it was.
Is that a concern? Like, do you know if did she ever talk about that? Now that it's been a year, like, hey, I just want to make sure it's not that life is short and so you're going to grab, like 9/11.
Oh, no. She didn't ask me, like, are we. You sure about this still? It wasn't just like an old in the moment thing,
right?
Which I'm shocked I never proposed to anybody before. I would have probably thought like I would have proposed to like 50 people before.
That
like,
wasn't part of it, right? You didn't add that to the speech, right?
No, I never proposed to anybody. I told them I loved them because I thought I was in love, but I never was like, and let's get married. No, it was my first like real like adult, like this is the thing you should do. And it was like a decision that I knew, you know, like I'd made a lot of wrong decisions or decisions that like I looking back, I'm like, I don't know if like this brain that's on medication now would have done some of that stuff. But like, that was one of my first big like decisions that was like, this is the right decision.
What was the hard, you guys lived together through COVID, right? What was the hardest part of the quarantine / pandemic?
The only thing was at the time we had the tiniest little apartment and, we didn't have like a balcony or anything like that to kind of hang out. So that was it. Like we got along fine. Like I know a lot of people were like, oh, it's going to kill my partner over COVID. I was like, oh, we got along pretty well. Right. But you know,
what's taken long on the marriage? Pandemic for everybody or what?
Yeah. No rush for the marriage.
No rush. No. So it's not pandemic when you just said, you just said that there's no rush. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody else has to die and then you move. Yeah. To the next
step. Is that interesting? Yeah. Is that interesting? Yeah. Yeah. Keith, I hear you. It's interesting. Okay. All right.
You guys are good. Yeah.
As long as you know, it's interesting.
Who made your coffee today? It looks zhuzhed up.
It's Sarah made this for me. We got a Nespresso machine, and I'll tell you what, hopefully the people from Nespresso aren't listening to this. Once you buy one machine, you just call and complain if it ever acts up and they just send you a new machine. And I'm on my fourth machine and this is my favorite one so far. So.
I don't know how to tell you this. They know it. They don't care. They're five.
That's what I heard. Cause they make so much money.
5 million. Yeah.
They make so much billions on selling the stuff. So they just keep sending me and I keep taking them.
Yeah, there are other people who are too embarrassed to do that. And, you know, for
not me,
you're lucky that like there's only a few of you that want to make that weird phone call. You know,
I go, listen, I've done everything you say, Keith. If you're my guy, I go, Keith, have you done this? I go, Keith, I did that like five times. I watched a YouTube video. I always say I watched a YouTube video. And they go, all right, we'll just send you a new one. This guy knows what he's talking about.
And you're impressed instead of thinking, boy, these fuckers keep breaking. Yeah.
No, I'm just impressed. They keep sending me new stuff. Yeah, new. And I get to pick a color. We can go rose gold this time. I'm in. Let's go, baby.
Well, congrats again on your fiancéing.
Thank you.
And if that's the end of that, that's the end. That's a beautiful moment. Keep that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Congrats on you and your dad getting along.
Yes.
That'd be
Thank
sweet.
You.
I would love to see
Thank
that.
You. That'd be sweet. Very fun. Very cool.
And that's that. Marty, thank you so much for your time. You can follow Marty online. You know that. Come on, stop
it.
You think he's not going to allow that? His Twitter handle, his Instagram, Marty DeRosa, DeRosa. You know. And the podcast, Marty and Sarah Loves Wrestling.
That's it.
Marty and Sarah Loves Wrestling. That's because
it's love. It's loves, but I keep letting you say loves.
It's love, right?
Love, yeah.
Okay.
He was about to be very upset with your grammar, so. Okay.
I'm just gonna show this right here on the camera that you're the one who wrote the S. Okay, so don't ever fucking embarrass me.
How dare I?
Thank you.
I thought that was like an East Coast thing because I remember I used to watch that live PD, and there was this couple in Warwick, Rhode Island. They used to always arrest people in Warwick, Rhode Island, and the one guy there was like a couple having a fight at a Walgreens, and the cop came to break it up, and they were like out of their minds. And he's like, "You still want to be with her?" The cop says this to the guy, and he goes, "Of course I do." And he goes, "What about you?" And she goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Tell her you love her." And he goes, "I love yous." And I was like, "Oh, that's just the best right there. I love yous. I'm sorry's." And he said, "I'm sorry's," plural. "I love yous and I'm sorry's." So I thought that was just like, just an extra little East Coast on it.
I think it's like saying that stuff with fingers crossed. That's what I think.
I think he just insulted us.
No, never.
He's like, "You people and your stupid ass."
I got grammar. I was trying to say cod, like a cod sandwich on a commercial, and they kept saying, "What are you saying?" And I was like, "Cad." They're like, "You're saying it like C-A-D, like an old, you know, Midwestern man." So we're all there.
Well, Marty, I wish you the best in life. I
hope Marty.
I hope you have a good day today. What are you doing today? Oh.
Marty, I love you.
You know, I'm going to go out on the back porch a little bit. Read, I hear you. And I'm going to watch, I guess I'll watch Monday Night Raw at about 7 o'clock my time here. So not a bad that's life. A good life.
Monday Night Raw for other couples is different. So that's fun that you guys have that in common. I like that theme night. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been together Rod a while. Night. So
oh my God, Marty, you're so fun. Rod Night. No, it's just wrestling. Yeah. Wrestling with your dick? No.
Does that ever happen? Do you see, you know, this homoerotic wrestling? Do you see it and go, "Oh, we should try just the way Randy Orton put his face in The Rock's dick. Like, we should try that, but sexually."
No, okay. I don't. No? I have such respect for,
you know, want to poison one or the other.
Yeah, right? It's just, I don't like mixing okay. those worlds because then, you know, you're punching and stuff like that.
Sure. Next thing you know, you're in an old age home and you forgot what's what.
Yeah.
I hear you. Marty, thanks so much for being part of this.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Right. We'll talk to you soon. That's it.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. That was great.
That was pretty easy. And you are an open book.
Absolutely. That was
cool.
Yeah. Thank we forgot so to talk about piece of shit guests who call you later and tell you to edit that part of the episode.
Let's talk about it right now, Marty.
We do a bonus.
Yes, this is the bonus. Not many people get a bonus.
Yeah,
people would... You had a another wrestling podcast. What was that called?
No, not a wrestling podcast. No? I'm just terrible at branding. I had a mental illness podcast called Wrestling with Depression.
Okay.
And everybody thought it was about wrestling, but it was about mental illness. And I would have some wrestlers, but mostly comedians, because they're the best guests to talk about mental illness. And I'd have people on and we would talk about all sorts of different mental illnesses, whatever they're dealing with, relationships, stuff like we've talked about. And then inevitably, I would get emails years later, or sometimes right after they recorded. And it was like, "Hey, you have to beep out this person's name, or can you cut out this part?" And then when we're talking years later, it's just like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Right. And how do you do it? Because I refuse to do it. And I'll say it right here.
There was a time where I would do it. I would acquiesce to these requests. And then it just got to the point where it was like, "I'm just going to take your whole episode down." And then it got to the point where I'm like, "I'm just going to take them all down." So I just took them all down.
You took your whole category down?
Yeah.
Catalog,
done. Yeah, catalog. I was done. And I'm like that with stuff. When I'm done, I'm just done. Like, I don't know. Like, if I write in a journal when I'm done, I just throw it away. I don't keep it.
You burn your stand-up album.
I burn it all. Yeah, I don't want to do any of this stuff. But like, with the, you know.
By the way, when he's done, he's done. He's got two full sleeves of tattoos.
Yeah,
I don't know how you're ever done with anything.
And I just said, and I'm done. No, but
don't make it onto his sleeve of tattoos because he is done with you.
I would find that it was mostly about, like, at first it was the relationship. I shouldn't have said this about this person. But then I would get the years later. It's like, I'm going for a job. I'm like, no one's listening.
No one gives a fuck, you asshole. And by the way, here's what's extra offensive, Marty. They wouldn't ask Fallon to take something down. They also aren't taking into account that you were on the show and maybe you were interesting. Maybe you were funny or thought provoking. No, they don't care about that. And they're also not even thinking about it. Like, somebody asked me to take something down and like, What was it? I think it was one time it was about I shouldn't have mentioned my ex because I'm afraid he's going to get violent. Meanwhile, okay. on the Twitter feed is all this shitting on the ex.
That's the other thing too. Right? When you're like, okay, I did that, and then it's like then you see them like on stage naming names or something.
They're not thinking it through. That's my point. They're not thinking it through. They're just saying fuck you. I look at somebody. I look at somebody different forever, unless I forget, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And like I had the thing too where one guy was like had a lawsuit and he's like, oh shit, I can't say the name of the like restaurant that, you know, he was drinking at or something as per the lawsuit or some shit like that. There was something going on with the lawsuit where a guy was drinking and driving. So it was like, he's like, I could lose something, whatever. Okay, fine.
Now, how did I find out about your lawsuit?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I found out about your lawsuit, then you told me about it, or I'm just reading all the lawsuits coming through. So you brought it up knowing that you can get in trouble and you're in the middle of a lawsuit. Shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah. Don't go on podcasts.
And and now you're asking me to shut my mouth about it. Don't tell me about it. You're doing wrong things.
Yeah. And I think sometimes too, it's like, okay, fine. But I mean, in actuality, it's like, if you don't get this job because of this, I'll give you like $500 if you can tell me that, if you could send me the email where the lady or guy was like, we were going to hire you, but we heard this podcast. And apparently I was just like, get out of here. But I think that's kind of this, like, you know, like, well, I'm ready to really be serious about comedy and I can't have any skeletons in my closet or whatever. And it's just like, all right, whatever.
So you just appeared out of nowhere like a ghost. Like,
yeah.
So what did you used to think about this? I was always on the right side of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So strange. I don't know what there is to joke about because I was always just knowing what the next thing is.
Yeah.
Just know this. If you do interview shows and you ask them to take out something, you're a piece of shit. You're a piece of dog shit. And your friends, Marty, that you're talking about, I hope you don't talk to him anymore.
You know what? I think about it and I'm just like, I don't know if I really talk to some of those people anymore.
Good. So, good. Yeah. Fucking weirdos. come on. And then I'll get sometimes, hey, can you I shouldn't have told this story. Can you take out 7 minutes to 23 minutes? Again, yes, sure.
Yeah.
There's no magic there. But also, you didn't even bother really checking because one thing leads to a callback in the future is going to lead to something in this section. And by the way, the section you picked, it lands in the middle of a sentence. You non-giving a fuck son of a bitch. This is a job, you asshole, and it's offensive. It's offensive. Listener, never find yourself being the one doing it, ever.
I was just listening to a podcast, a movie podcast, and the guy was talking about seeing some terrible movie, and they beeped it out. And I was like, now I'm extra mad because he beeped it out, and I don't get to hear what this great movie was that the guy was talking shit about.
They think that's so precious. They think that like the director, the writer, all of the people are going to be listening in and that's what's going to not get them their part. Now, here's the thing that I do understand. When you go on talk shows as a famous person and they go, what was it like to work with Scorsese? Mm-hmm. You're at work still.
Yeah.
That's a stupid question. And you get to have a stupid answer. It was amazing. Like, you know, they don't ask accountants like, so how do you like working with your boss? And it's like, well, he's a fucking grabby motherfucker, but I don't know what to do. Maybe that's not the time. Like, it's now we're in entertainment mode. You know, if you want to say something about Scorsese or whatever, it's the only director I can think of right now. It's not like, you know, hey, I'm Jimmy Fallon. It's like, will you talk shit about everyone who will ever rehire you? No.
Yeah.
Right. No.
It's disgust. It's the worst kind of people. Then just a little better than that is all the touching people you were talking about. It's fucking disgusting what's going on out there.
Do you think a lot of the touching people were like calling other podcasts being like, hey, you gotta take off that part where I say I touch people on there. And they're like, it's too late.
No,
man.
It's not about, because they don't talk about crimes. They'll just be innocuous and be like, can you take out that part where I don't think I love Doctor Strange 2 as much as Doctor 1?
Definitely going to work for Disney. Yeah. I just know I'm going to work for Disney. They're going to go, wait, did you say you didn't like Doctor Strange on Keith and the Girl? Well, you know, we're going to fucking fire you. Yeah.
Right. Oh, well, by the way, that's the number one movie, of course, right now. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Have you seen it? Are you checking it out?
You know what? I could have definitely seen it. Like, it was one of those situations where I had like time to kill. I was right by a movie theater. I was waiting for a bus and I was like, I don't want to see this. I'd rather just go home and do nothing than see it. So I don't know if Marvel, if you're listening, but I used to go to all your movies and I said, you know what? I'd rather go home and just sit on my couch than watch your movie.
I'm not taking this out, Marty. You know that?
No, it's okay. And I don't care. I don't care who hears it. If Kevin Feige, I think that's the only name I know from Disney. If Kevin Feige hears this, if he's listening, no. It just didn't jump at me. And I'm like, I love a movie on the spot.
2 hour window of time.
I had a full 2 hours. Movie was starting within like 15 minutes. I wasn't even going to have to like sit around. I got to kill a half hour. Mm-hmm. It would have been perfect. It would have walking there would have took 8 minutes. Tickets, getting everything situated. It would have been perfect. And I just,
are you going to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once?
That I want to see. That I'll see for sure. Cause I saw X in the theater, the horror movie and with a crowd. And it was like, the best. Being with the crowd in the theater was so good.
Just be with tissues for this one.
Yeah, I heard it's a real sad one.
But no.
I cried so hard on a date with a girl one time. We saw I don't even know what movie it was. And it just like, it hit me. And I just looked at her, look at me like, I can't fuck this guy. Look at him crying like this. I just felt like sometimes like it would be endearing. But with this one, she was just like, we weren't there yet where I could just sob uncontrollably after the movie. And I was like, oh, this isn't gonna work. Yeah.
Doctor Strange 2. I won't give you any spoilers, but ever hear of the Hulk? I'm just kidding. But I notice you gotta as much as like the okay ones of those are.
Okay.
But it's still there's parts that are pretty fucking fantastic. Yeah. There's a murder scene where all these superheroes are getting murdered. A whole section that's worth the whole movie.
But let me guess, it was a dream and none of it really mattered.
It's a multiverse, so anything can happen, so you're if you're into one of these movies, you gotta go see it right away. On social media, in newspapers, it's like John Krasinski is in this, and I'm like, that is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that means. And do you know who plays the black version of Captain Marvel? Like, so it's a you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So
that's with wrestling. It's the same way. I like Japanese wrestling too. So that'll happen when it's the middle of the night here. So you want to wake up and watch it, and I'll forget and I'll go right on Twitter, and the people I know and follow on Twitter, it's all big news. You see like a guy holding the belt who won, and you're just like, fuck. Yeah.
You hear that, Marvel? He had a two-hour window.
Two-hour window.
He didn't use it for you. But he will wake up in the middle of the night to watch wrestling.
Yeah, I will, yeah. Yeah, no, there's something about it. Like, if there's a movie that I want to see, I will go. I love going, like, Friday, 10 a.m. You know, like, I'll go. If it's something I definitely want to see. Like, the Batman, when that came out, I was there, like, first day. I think I went to, like, the 11:30. Loved it. But that one, it just didn't... I don't know. Doctor Strange is like,
if you can handle all this watching of stuff, there is a prerequisite, I think, on Disney Plus. You do want to see WandaVision first. You want to see What If first. That's my recommendation. What ifs,
they lost me on those What Ifs.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but you know,
when they're losing me, that's like when you got to tell if you talk to Kevin Feige later today, you got to tell him like we're losing the Martys, and we were there, hanging.
You were
on.
There, the Martys were there.
I was there, the Martys were there, but you're starting to lose us. Yeah,
that's for sure. And then somebody wrote me saying they saw the movie. Let's see if I printed this out. Maybe I didn't. They saw the movie, not in 3D. Thought it was corny. Then somebody, one of their friends, wanted to see it, so she was willing to see it again, and she liked it in 3D. I saw Doctor Strange opening night, says Svej. I did not like the tone. It felt campy. Visually, it felt like an old movie. My opinion is I disliked it more than I liked it. Then I saw it again tonight with my lady. She wanted to watch in 3D, so I said, fine. I don't know, but the visual style of it worked so much better and changed my whole opinion of the movie. The camp was gone, and I enjoyed it to the fullest. So there you go. You got to go 3D also, it seems.
Wow. How much is that for a ticket? 50?
6,000. 6,000.
6,000? Okay, fair. Yeah, that's too much. The screen that's is coming much. Out at you.
Go but ahead. I hear that and I'm just like, well, I'll never see it in 3D. So I'll just, I don't know.
Well, it's just $1,000 for the glasses, but the rest is...
And keep the glass. Yeah. You pay, and when you pay for these $6,000 glasses, keep them. You don't really have to put them in the bin.
Is that like Oculus?
Yeah, and like then you can go home and play feature. Oculus. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want with them.
You could pretend. I'm playing Oculus. Look.
Right.
I see you.
I hate to say this, Marty, but we're even out of bonus time now.
That's fine. I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And you know what? You don't have to cut anything I said.
Okay. You know what?
At all. I'm going to stand by it.
Watch this. This is how I'm going to close interviews from now on. Thanks for everything. And that's that. And what's done is done. KeithandTheGirl.com.